Well, we thank Shari for that awesome selection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? You know, there's nothing greater than serving the Lord. And every day, there's always something, right? You ever feel like that? There's always something. But rather than seeing it as a negative, see it as an opportunity for God to prove himself. That's what is really happening. God gives us opportunities to demonstrate all that he can do in our lives. God is giving us these opportunities so that we can show the world the love of God. Hallelujah. And that is why God says you can take it. You can take it. I've given you all the resources you need to be sustained so that no matter what the world throws at you, I will see you through it. I am watching over you. I will guard you. I will protect you. Your job is to stay in me. Hallelujah. To remain in me. Isn't that what the Word of God says? He is our shelter. If you run into him, you will be safe. Hallelujah. Don't drift away from the Lord. Don't allow all of the things of life to cause you to be distracted from your hiding place. God is our hiding place. And when we abide in him, he is our shelter. He is our cover. He is our protector. He makes a way for us. He enables us. And no matter what is going on outside, we're hidden in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we have been talking about being polished arrows and how important it is for us to understand that God has made us like arrows. And because God uses us like arrows, we are able to accomplish all that he has intended for us to accomplish. We have a purpose in life, just like God has a purpose. God created us, he made us, so that we would be his witnesses, so that we would be the ones who he can live through. God wants to live through us. That's why Christ abides within us. When you accept Christ, he comes into your heart. He comes into your life. And that is a significant experience because it is the life of God that is eternal. And when the life of God comes into you, you become eternal because your soul and God's spirit merge together. You become one. That's what Jesus said. Even as the Father and I are one, so are we. That's what he says. And so we are one with God. We become one with him and we become of God. We are the people or the children of God. We are born of God, born again. And that is why you and I have to go through this, a re-educational process. Because we have to learn who we are in Christ and what that actually means, how it impacts us, so that we can live with confidence that what God's word says is going to come to pass. It will come to pass. And remember, God operates outside of the time-space continuum. God operates outside of that, so time is irrelevant to him. What is relevant to God is effectiveness and timeliness for his purpose. And so when God is working outside of creation, he is intervening within creation so that you and I can be shown as the example the world needs to see so that they too can put their faith and trust in God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so today I would like to take a look here at Psalm 64, and our verse 7 is our lead verse, and it says, "But God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly, they will be wounded." Hallelujah. Boy, that's a That's a potent verse right there, isn't it? Hallelujah. Do you think that if God shoots an arrow, he will miss? I would submit to you that God never misses. Whatever he's shooting, he is not going to miss. And so if God is aiming at you, you will be wounded. You will be humbled or humiliated or brought low, brought down. And you will be brought to a place where you will have to acknowledge God. And so I would like to use as a theme today, the arrows of the Lord. Hallelujah. Arrows of the Lord. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for your word, and we are so thankful that you love us and you care for us to such a degree that you desire us to live and be with you throughout all eternity. That one day even these bodies will die because of the sin that is in these bodies, but you will give us a new body. Our soul and our conscious selves will be given new life, will be given sustained life, as Christ has proven through the resurrection from the cross and from the tomb. So you have given us new life as well. And God, we will one day rise up in a new body, a new life, in a new world that you have restored, renewed, and revived. And our desire is to be used by you until that day comes, and that you would be able to see and work through us as an example to a lost and dying world. Lord, even as the prophet Jeremiah said, here am I, Lord, use me. Lord, we say, here we are, use us, Lord. Our desire is to be used. Help us, O God, to see and hear and perceive the things of God so that we would have confidence in knowing that you are with us and will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what is happening around us. Lord, we thank you, O God, for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The arrows of the Lord. Well, when God shoots arrows, God is a master archer. He does not miss. And he is a mighty warrior. God is a mighty warrior. And when you and I are walking with God, when we are following him, when we're abiding in him, you and I also become mighty warriors. Hallelujah. I wrote a song some time ago, Mighty Warriors. And you and I are a part of this working of God, this army of God, who have been called to overcome the strategies of the enemy. And so we are not to be afraid, but we are to be persevering. We are to be determined. We need to be faithful, and we need to hold fast to the principles of God. God has given us his word so that we can navigate through life effectively and understanding that he is in control. He is the authority over all things. It doesn't matter what is happening all around us. Our responsibility is to stay faithful. And we need to know what the word of the Lord says so that we can apply it in our lives. And so let's begin here by understanding first the arrow. The arrow is something we're all familiar with. I don't know, I was a Boy Scout, and many of you may have gone to summer camps or things like that, and you shot bow and arrow. Did you ever do that? And one of the things they always teach you is don't stand near the target, right? Don't go down near the target. Stay away from the target. And God has the same rule. He says that what fellowship has light with darkness? He says, don't be unequally yoked. And he says, stay away from the target.
stay away from the area where the darts will be flying. And we cannot entertain ourselves in an atmosphere or in a place where it's dangerous for us to be. And so the parts of an arrow are something that we need to be able to understand. And if you're an archer and you're involved in that sport, you have to familiarize yourself with the arrow and its parts. And the first part is the nook. That's the part that we're all familiar with, that little notched end on the back that actually goes onto the rope across the back of the bow. But the interesting thing about the nook is it's got to be a precise size so that it does not pinch the rope. And so whatever the thickness or the diameter of the rope is, the notch has to be adjusted appropriately so that it just rests without giving any resistance, so that when it is released, it doesn't hold on and hinder the releasing of the arrow, but it allows it to freely flow. And you and I have to be likewise properly notched, so that we can be used of God, so that when he releases us, we're not stuck on something, being hindered. The next part is the fletching, and the fletching are the feathers in the back. The fletching, I say, is like the Holy Spirit. He guides us as we go. And so as the arrow is flying, it is the fletching that keeps it flying straight where it needs to go. It keeps it on track. And then there is the shaft. We all are familiar with the shaft, not the not Shaft, the movie, but Shaft, the man, but the shaft of the arrow. And this shaft has to be not only straight, but it has to be balanced. And this is true of you and I. We must be balanced people. We must have a right perspective on everything. And the only way to get a right perspective is to be able to abide in the Word of God. It is God's Word that gives us a balanced perspective. And once we understand the Word of God, we can now navigate the world in a way where we can shoot and fly straight, because the Spirit of God is enabling us to stay on course. And then there is the point. And the point is the will of God. God will get you where you need to be so that you can accomplish his will, and his word will not return void. His word will accomplish the very purpose for which it was sent. And so you and I are like arrows, and we are able to understand how important we are to God. The final part of the arrow is what's known as the cresting. Now, the cresting is an identifying mark. And notice it's right before or near the fletching. And the cresting is so, and whenever the archer would shoot his arrows, if there were many people around, the way you would know whose arrow is whose when it hits the target is by the cresting. The cresting says it's you. It's your mark. It's your name. It's your identifying feature, so that when you're looking at all the arrows, some hit over here, some hit down there, some hit over here, but some got in a bullseye, you know it's yours because of the fletching. And I would submit to you that the Spirit of God gives us a fletching, and he makes his mark upon us, and God knows those who are his own. God knows his people. He has his mark on us. And that's why when the Antichrist comes, he has his mark. But the mark of God's people is already established by the Spirit of God. That is why Jesus said, he who has not my Spirit or the Spirit of God is not of me. And so the mark in the New Testament of the Christian or the believer is the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God. That is why you need to walk in the Spirit. Paul is always emphasizing the importance of abiding in the Spirit of God. God places his mark on us, and we need to be filled by the Spirit of God. And God will enable us to accomplish his purposes and his will. And no matter how the wind blows, no matter what challenges and difficulties you face, you will fly straight because the Spirit of God will guide you and guard you, and you will accomplish the very purpose for which God created you to accomplish in this generation. So you and I are like the arrow, and God wants to launch us into the deep, into the places that the Word of God needs to go, where the demonstrations of the Spirit of God need to go, where the power of God needs to be released, and where God can magnify himself. You and I are the arrows of God, and he uses us according to his own purpose. So, saints of God, hallelujah, you and I are called to rise up. We ought to be ready. We ought to be in the quiver. We ought to be in the quiver saying, Lord, here am I, use me. And so in Psalm 64, we see in verse 1, the psalmist says, hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. And this is a picture of David when he was under the attack, if you will, of Saul and the people who were trying to bring him down. And you and I are always under attack. Once you come to Christ, you will always be under attack. Satan will always be looking for an opportunity to hinder you, to exploit your weaknesses, and to cause you to be discouraged and made ineffective at even being used of God as an arrow. And so here is David crying out, and he says in verse 3, who have sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aimed bitter speech as their arrow to shoot from concealment at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. Saints of God, there are people who are tools and agents of Satan. They are on assignment. And Satan will use people. He will use them to do evil. We know that the identifying marks of satanic influence is robbing, right? Killing and destruction, right? Satan, that's what he comes to do, to rob, to kill, and to destroy. So whenever you see those things happening, you know those people are under satanic or demonic influence. And so they are operating under their inspiration. And the inspiration doesn't come from God. It comes from Satan. God is a creator of life. He brings healing and reconciliation. God is one who restores. He renews. He revives. He lifts up. He edifies. He builds up. So any person that is speaking or doing things that contradict the ways of God or the identifying elements or aspects of God, you know, is under satanic influence. And that's why it's interesting when you listen to people's words. You know, there are some people who all they do is complain. You ever know people like that? That's all they do. It doesn't matter what is going on that's good or positive, they will find something to complain about. That person is under demonic influence. They are under demonic inspiration. I'm not talking about being in a state where you're trying to improve things and make things better. There is a way that you go about that and a way that you handle that. But someone who is consistently complaining and all they have to say is negative things about people, once someone starts speaking negatively about another person who is not there, you ought to raise a red flag. Because that means Satan is in the midst. And if you're not careful, you will be engaging in a conversation that is working against the works of God. So that means if God is working in a person's life to bring healing, restoration, renewal, and revival, and someone else is elevating the evil or the works or the wrongs then that tells you that person is more in tune with Satan than they are with God. And so when you're in touch with God, you see what God is doing. You see the things of God. You see the ways of God. And so when you're walking with God and you're communing with God, when you have fellowship with him, you see things what from God's perspective. Now it's not about you. It's now. It's what is the Lord saying? What is God doing? Because God stands behind his word to perform it. God will cause things to happen. You might say, oh, I can't. Oh, I don't know how. Oh, it's too much for me. Yes, it is. But once you engage as the Spirit of God is launching you like an arrow, you will suddenly have strength from the Spirit of God. You will have renewal from the Spirit of God. You will be empowered. You will experience the anointing that breaks yokes of bondage. You will be liberated and set free. And so you will be able to see all these things that are happening. So when people are using their tongue like a sword, you see the parallel, right? You remember Ephesians 6. So we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Hallelujah. And so God's word and all words are like a sword. The question is, whose hand is it in? And so that will determine the spirit in which it's being utilized or operated in. And so they shoot from concealment. In other words, they cloak themselves. They try to hide themselves. They try to cover themselves. They try to give the appearance that, oh, we're just trying to help. Oh, we're just trying to make things better. But meanwhile, they're pulling down. They're destroying. They're hindering what God is trying to do. Unity and all the things that are required to advance as the people of God is now being stifled because of the things that someone who's tapped into a dark place is now speaking out. And now everyone who is hearing these things is being brought to a dark place, a place of negativity. And this is something the people of God just don't do. We should not do. Let's put it that way. And so you and I need to be able to hear the voice of God. We need to be able to be in that place where God can preserve your life from the dread of the enemy. And so verse 8 of Jeremiah 9 says, their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceit. With his mouth, one speaks peace to his neighbor, but inwardly he sets an ambush for him. This is what evil workings look like. On the outside, it looks like they're your friend or they are with you. But inwardly, they are speaking deceit. They are operating in a place of darkness. And their tongue is a deadly arrow. And we have to be able to discern. And when we hear people tapping into darkness, we need to rebuke them and bring that down. And we need to bring correction so that we are not allowing the spirit of darkness to permeate where we are. We must be guardians of our own space, our own domain. Otherwise, it will continue to spread like cancer, and before you know it, you will find yourself negative and in a dark place. And so we have to stay tuned to God so that we are not finding ourselves being overtaken by someone who has set an ambush for us. Because when somebody sets an ambush for someone else, you get caught up in it. And we don't want to be in that place. Matthew 12:34 says, Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Hallelujah. And so Jesus here is pointing out this very fact, the principle of that which you speak, it comes from the heart. It's out of their heart. You've heard people say, well, the Lord knows my heart. Yes, we all do, because we are listening to the words that you speak. And the way you are speaking them, it demonstrates the spirit in which you are rooted into. And so when you speak of out of darkness and evil, and you bring about destruction, and you cause separation and division on different levels, you are not tapped into the kingdom of God. You are tapped into the kingdom of darkness. And so we have to learn how to recognize these things when we experience them, because it's not just seeing it, you will experience it. Because when the words are spoken, the atmosphere changes, it shifts. And we are called to be those who are givers of life. We are born of God, of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God brings life. It renews, it revives, it lifts up, it empowers, it enables. And when you're of God, you will speak the things of God. Hallelujah. And so Luke 6:45 says, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Hallelujah. And this is true of the good and the bad, as it says here. And so if you're a good person, you will speak out of the good treasures of your heart. You will speak the things that are going to be a blessing, that are going to be of help, the things that are going to cause people to have a better experience, improve themselves, grow and mature in the ways of God, drawing closer to God. It is a choice that you make based on what is in your heart. And so this is why we have to be careful what we meditate on, what we're thinking about, and who we're listening to. Sometimes you gotta separate yourself from certain people because they speak negative things all the time. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be around people speaking negative things every time they come around me. Don't come around me talking about negative things. Don't come around me complaining about someone else, because that means you are tapped into the wrong thing. Because when you're tapped into God, God causes you to be a resource to help things improve and turn around. You don't even have to say anything. You recognize it, and the Spirit of God moves on your heart, and you move to fix it. You bring it into alignment with what is right and what is true. Either you speak words to bring correction and to bring help. Maybe you pull somebody off to the side, or you will cause things to be renewed. You go out and you say, I know that's not right, that's broken, I'm just going to get a new one and fix it. And nobody has to know anything. I just took care of it. And this is how, when you're tapped into the Spirit of God, you will work. And out of whatever is in your heart, that is what's going to come out. And when you are fighting and in warfare and in the battle, you must be aware of where the arrows are coming from, because they are coming with an identifying mark attached to them. And you will be able to recognize which arrows are of God and which arrows are from the enemy. And so Psalm 57:4 says, my soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Woo, my goodness. Here's a tough place. Do you ever feel like that? You're around people who are like lions. They just want to bite and devour people. And then you feel like if you're not careful, you're going to get gobbled up. Hallelujah. And I tell you, if people are talking about other people around you, what are they saying when you're not there about you? Lord, have mercy. And so you can never trust someone who is talking about someone else in a negative light, and it's not for the purpose of building them up and bringing healing and restoration. You know that you too are a potential meal for the lion. Hallelujah. And so we have to be careful that we are able to discern these things. In verse 12 of Psalm 7, it says, if a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword, and he has bent his bow and made it ready. You see, God says, if you don't get that under control, I'm going to sharpen my bow. You don't want God pulling out his arrows to bring correction into your life. I don't know about you, but I don't want God having to shoot arrows at me. Hallelujah. But I know that it has happened, right? And that is how God brings correction in our lives, how he helps us. And God never misses. He is a warrior who is a sharpshooter. He is capable. He is able. He knows what it will take to humble you, to bring you to a place of submission to God. And so verse 13 says, he has also prepared for himself deadly weapons. He makes his arrows fiery shafts. Isn't that interesting? Because what does Ephesians say? That God says that you are to quench the fiery darts or arrows of the enemy using the shield of faith. Isn't that what it says? And so here, God has his own fiery arrows. Hallelujah. So it's not just the devil shooting fiery arrows. God shoots them also. I tell you what, I have a shield of faith to deal with the devil's arrows, but there's nothing that can shield you from the fiery arrows of the Lord. God will reach his intended target. He will bring you to a place of correction and humility when you're out of alignment with God. And God is looking to redeem. It's for the purpose of renewing, reviving, and restoring, to bring us to a place where we can experience the love of God for ourselves. But at the same time, he protects his loved ones. Hallelujah. That's why the word of God says, touch not my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Why? Because God is watching over his people. He guides them. He guards them. He protects them. He is a strong tower. He is the place where the righteous are able to run into him and they become safe. And there's nothing worse than attacking someone who's in the cover of God, who's under the covering of the Lord, who is abiding in the Lord. You're going to run into the place of God to attack one of his loved ones. I guarantee you, you will not make it out alive. Hallelujah. You will not make it out alive. Hallelujah. And so in Psalm 18, verse 14, it says, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. This is what God will do to those who are working against him, against his will, against the plans of God, against the people who are trying to do the will of God. The Lord will fight for you. You and I, we don't have to fight. We are the arrows. God says, I'll take care of you. You just make sure you're in the quiver when I need you. And we just need to be made ready. We need to be polished and sharpened. We need to be able to be effective with the word of God. The arrows, they represent the word of God, or the words that are spoken or used. And God wants to use us to speak the truth of God. God's arrows represent judgment. God's arrows represent correction. And he is trying to bring things into alignment with the kingdom of God. And he's bringing restoration. The world has been overtaken by Satan. And all those things that he has obtained from the fall in the garden. As a result, he has power and authority that really doesn't belong to him. And so in Christ, you and I are given back what the devil stole from Adam and Eve in the garden. And so now we have to learn how to use them. Just because you have a bow and an arrow doesn't mean you know how to use it. Doesn't mean that you understand how it works and all of the elements and aspects of it. And that's why we need to be trained in the ways of the Lord. It begins when you're a child. The Word of God says Christian parents, people of God, ought to train up their children in the way that they should go so that when they're old, they will not depart from it. That's the story of the 300 who were trained from infants to be warriors. And you and I are being called of God to be warriors. God is a warrior. He himself is a warrior, and he is using us as his arrows, and we are there in his quiver waiting to be used in abundance so that we can be effective at the things of God. In 1 Corinthians 10:3, we see this example of Saul, and it says, the battle became heavy against Saul, and the archers overtook him, and he was wounded by the archers. He was shot by the archers, if you remember the story. And so we know that when God is against you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. When you're going against the will of God, God was trying to get Saul to become right, to do right, to come into alignment, to come into repentance, to begin to see himself as he really was and yield himself and surrender himself to God. But his pride and his arrogance, he could see everybody else's weakness, everybody else's problems, but he couldn't see his own. And that's how many people are. They can see everybody else's problem. They can see everything else that's going wrong, but they can't see themselves. They look in the mirror and they turn away and they forget what they look like. That's what the Word of God says. And so many people are living their lives that way, and they think they're operating in righteousness and truth, but they're really working against God. And when you work against God, nothing will go right in your life. Things will go apparently well for a short amount of time, and then the bottom drops out. And you will find yourself suffering problems and issues and one thing after the next, and things just won't go right for you. And it's because you're working against God. And when you humble yourself before the Lord, the Word of God says God will raise you up. And this is why it's so important to be faithful and to be true to the Word of God. Apply it in your life. Speak the words that God has already spoken. He's given us a book full of them so that we can come into alignment and experience the power of God. Being a Christian is about power. Nobody goes into battle with no power. You have at least some kind of weapon. That weapon represents power. And God has given us power in our lives. The arrow is a tool of power. It has power, and it is launched, and it flies, and it has the power to bring down, to destroy, to hinder that which is working against the user. Hallelujah. And Satan is shooting his arrows. He's trying to bring you down. He's trying to bring me down. But you and I have to be able to recognize that that arrow is not of God, and we raise the shield of faith and we bring it down. And God is our cover. And when we walk in the righteousness of God, he covers us. He protects us. He gives us the power to overcome. You and I, we need power to overcome. The power is through the Spirit. God is a spirit. Are you with me? God is a spirit. Satan is a spirit. Can we agree on that? Satan is a spirit. God is working with us. Satan is working against us in the spirit. Spirits need a host. Spirits need a host. They need a body in this realm. In the realm outside of creation, spirits can be free. They can do their thing. But in the natural realm, a spirit being needs a host to work through, to influence. And so Satan will work in the same way the Holy Spirit does. In fact, the Word of God says he is the master deceiver. In other words, he has the ability to imitate God. He can speak the words of God with a slight little twist to it. We remember that because he even did it to Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. And there he was interacting with Jesus, who was a spirit man. And it takes a spirit man to be able to interact wisely with other spirit beings. And so the realm of the spirit and the realm of man come together when the Holy Spirit of God fills you, so that now you have the dimensions of the spirit realm within you. That means you now have the capacity to interact with the Spirit of God, the things of God, and to recognize Satan and his demonic workings and influences when it comes your way. Because now you're able to see in the spirit. God, it gives you the ability to discern. And the way we're able to discern is by the words that are spoken determine the spirit from whence it came. So when you recognize the word of God and it is accurate and true, you will know it came from God. But when you hear the word of God with a twist, you know it is designed to deceive and to bring about a wrong result. And so even when Christians are speaking the wrong thing, it is destructive. And it hinders, it binds, and it brings down. And that is why you and I have to be sharp in the word, so that we can recognize things that are not true, not right, and not of God, so that we can rebuke it. That's what the word of God calls us to do. We expose evil. And we say, that is evil, that is not of God, and we bring it down. And we say, I will not entertain that. And if the person is genuinely of God, they will submit and be corrected. And they will come into alignment with what is right and what is true. When people are not of God, they resist truth, they resist righteousness, and now you know they're on assignment from Satan to be a hindrance in your life. And you and I have to be careful, because there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is the way of destruction. And this is the warfare that we're in. This is the battle that we're in. The words that a person will speak, it comes from the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In fact, the Bible said that. Now scientists have figured it out. I remember Pastor Michal actually did a little expose on this very thing, that the heart actually has its own mind. Hallelujah. Do you know your heart that's pumping here has a mind within it? There's a will. There's a mind within your heart that scientists have now discovered, that it is the heart that actually communicates with the brain. Hallelujah. All right, that's a whole nother thing, but we already covered that once. Pastor Michal did a great job with that. And so you and I are the tools of God. He has called us so that we could be effective in battle, because living this life is a battle. It's warfare. Things are not just happening to you. They are strategically being planned against you. Hallelujah. And that is why we need to abide in God. That's why we come together in the unity of the Spirit of God, and we listen and we watch, and we are effective in the things of God. We must sharpen ourselves in the word of truth so that we can be effective, so that we can be the arrows of God. So when he fires us, we can be effective, and so that we will be able to bring down our enemies. And so Saul was brought down because he was working against the will of God. He was a hindrance to David. God was raising him up, and Saul was trying to hold him down. Boy, it's a terrible thing to try to hold people down when God is trying to pull them up. I tell you, you're not working against them, you're working against God. And so we have to be very careful. Recognize these things, people. Recognize these things, identify them. We see it all the time, and we say like the world, well, I'm not going to say anything, I'm not going to get involved. You need to recognize it when it's entertaining you and you're listening and people are saying things that are not right, not in alignment with what is true and what is of God. You have to bring it down, because if it doesn't, they're sowing a spirit into you, onto your life, into your mind. And now you're going to have that thought. And just like the word of truth wrestles with you, Satan's word will wrestle with you also. You ever have somebody say something and that you just can't get it out of your mind? All of a sudden you're like, no, I don't know. I can't. I don't want to hear. I don't want to believe that. I don't want to. That's not right. It's not true. And they're trying to sow seeds or words into your life so that you can have confusion, because they're trying to change your path. They're trying to get you to think a different way so you do something other than what you're already doing. They want you to change direction, to change your purpose and what all that's going on. There's a strategy to hinder you. And when Satan rises up with that amount of force, if it is constantly coming at you, you know you're on the right path. You know, whatever you do, do not change course, because now you are working in the way of God. And if God is working with you and is with you, don't change. You stay faithful. You stay true. Satan is not going to increase his attack in your life if you're not doing the right thing, if you're not being effective, if you are not growing and maturing in your walk with God, if you are not being used of God in a powerful way. Satan, he's not going to waste his time with you. If you're not doing anything for the sake of the kingdom of God, then Satan just leaves you alone. You just, whatever the world, whatever comes your way in the world, that's just what happens. No sense in him trying to be any hindering force in your life, because you're going where he wants you to go. You're saying what he wants you to say. You're doing what he wants you to do. And as long as you stay away from anything that's going to influence you for the sake of the kingdom of God, that's going to sharpen you, that's going to polish you, that's going to refine you, that's going to keep you in the quiver so God can use you more effectively to keep everything in place in your life so that your testimony is sure and true, and then Satan says, I'm going to leave you alone. But once you realize that God is doing something in your life, you can expect the enemy to come after you. Because just like we are taking back what the devil stole from us, the devil is trying to take back what God stole from him. And that is the battle. We're singing and we're praising the Lord. You know, he's under my feet. And the devil is saying, I'm going to put them under my feet. And everything we say unto the Lord, the devil is saying he's going to get it back. He's going to take back. He's going to do the same thing for his own kingdom. And this is what we're not thinking about, what we're not aware of, and we must be careful. So verse 6 of Psalm 64 says, they devise injustices, saying, we are ready with a well-conceived plot, for the inward thought of the heart of a man are deep. Hallelujah. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? The inward thoughts of the heart of a man, of a person, is deep. It's a deep place. You ever talk to some people, man, and you listen to the things that they're processing in their minds, and it's like, whoa, that's deep, man. That's some heavy stuff. You know, man, you know, what is going on in there? And that's why the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to separate even the soul and the spirit, like the marrow of the bone. God has the ability to reach his target. God is a warrior, and he is a sharpshooter. He knows what you need, and that's why he places us in an environment or in an atmosphere where we can be refined and made effective. Hallelujah. And so he says, but God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they will be wounded, so they will make him stumble. Their own tongue is against them. All who see them will shake the head. And they will look and just go, mm-mm-mm. Why? Because the things that you say will come back to you. Hallelujah. When you speak evil or you speak things that come from the quiver of the enemy, those things are like poison, and it will come back to you. The very thing that you're sowing to someone else, it's going to come back to you. And we call that the Haman principle. Haman was building gallows for Mordecai, and in the end, he himself was hung on that same gallows that he created. And this is what will happen when you try to bring down someone else, a child of God, a person of God, or you allow Satan to use you as a hindrance, all you have to do is stay faithful to God. Walk upright before the Lord. He will fire one of his arrows and he will bring you down. He will humble you. He will bring down that person who is a hindrance in your life. That's why it's the righteous that God will fight for. Hallelujah. God fights for the righteous. He doesn't just fight for those who claim to be children of God. He fights for the righteous. That means you are not just saying I'm born of God, but I'm walking in the ways of God. And so that means God has launched you like an arrow and you're going for whatever the target was that God pointed at. You're not saying, oh, I think I'm going to go over here. And I'm flying this way. No, 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 no. If you try to do that, then you're in trouble. God says, you're going to go wayward. So God says, I'm going to launch another arrow. And God used somebody else. And so we want to make sure that we're not trying to steer the way. We're just being launched in the way that God has sent us. Not my will, but thy will be done. And so the Lord will make those who are working against you, not because you're so great, but because God launched you. See? And so anything that's going against the thing that God launched as an arrow is going to be going against God and not the arrow. Not the arrow. You're going against the launcher, the archer. And so God is our archer. He is the one who launches us. It says, then all men will fear, and they will declare the work of God and will consider what he has done. Hallelujah. That's why God does things so that other people can see. You see, when you have hard times, you go through challenges and difficulties, don't be ashamed to tell people. Don't be ashamed. Say, look, it's tough right now. Boy, I'm going through this, or I have, you know, this is going on and I've got that going on. These things are going on. These are the areas where I am doing battle. And it may be a physical ailment in your body. It may be a problem on the job or an issue at work or something. Could be your car. Could be a spouse or children. Could be anything, because Satan attacks on many fronts. And we cannot be ashamed to say the attack is heating up in this area of my life. I need more support. Now you can get help. And when you try to keep things to yourself, then you will find that you will have to fight the battle alone. I remember my parents' generation. They were the generation that didn't tell anybody anything. They had the mentality, I don't want people in my business. Right? Don't tell anybody what's going on. Everything was a secret. Everything was hush, 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 hush. Right? You guys, I'm sure you guys have a similar thing. It's a mindset from that previous generation. And unfortunately, that is a way that will cause you to find yourself in a place where you're doing battle alone. And so when you share, when you testify, when you talk of what is happening, not only does that open the door for other people to come alongside you, but when you get the victory, you will prove the faithfulness of God, because everyone saw that you were in a troubling place, that you were in a place of difficulty, and God will bring you through. He will bring you through. He will bring you through. And when he does, the testimony must belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. And when you have the testimony that belongs to the Lord, God says, what else can we do? And now God begins to do even greater things in your life. And that is why we don't keep things. There's no secret. It's not a big deal. And if I go, I'm not saying you go tell the devil all your business. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that God has placed people around you who need to know what's happening in your life so they can come alongside you so that we can rejoice together. You see, it's all about being able to worship and glorify God in the end. You see, the reason you go into battle is so that when the battle is over, we can rejoice in the victory of the Lord. And so that is why men will fear and they will declare the work of God. And they will consider what he has done. Why? Because when they find themselves in a certain place, they will know that the Lord is there. Hallelujah. He is there to aid and to support, or he's there to shoot the arrows to bring you down. So now God has identified himself as being an active warrior and participant in the battle. Whose side are you on? Whose word are you communicating? What spirit are you of? And when you're of God, you will speak of God. In 1 Chronicles 10:7, it says, when all the men of Israel who were in the valley saw that they had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook their cities and fled, and the Philistines came and lived in them. Here is the people of God under Saul's leadership, who was misrepresenting God and the kingdom of God, and he was defeated, and now the Philistines, who represent a dark spiritual influence or a satanic influence, came in and took the blessing of the Lord from the people of God. They were robbed of their inheritance. How many Christians are robbed of their inheritance because they misrepresent God? You see, when you misrepresent God, God allows these things to happen. They will come against you. You will not last for long. You will not thrive. You will always be struggling. Some people, they struggle their whole lives struggling, and that's because they're resisting God. They're working against God. Their ways, the reflections of their heart are not in alignment with God. And so it says in Exodus 15:1-3, it says, then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord. And they said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is, hallelujah, my God, and I will praise him. Hallelujah. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will extol him. Saints of God, this is a song you and I will sing whenever we have victory. When you have victory, you will burst out in a song. Look what the Lord has done. Hey, look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. You know that song? He healed my body. He renewed my mind. He trained and saved me just in time. Oh, I'm gonna praise his name. Oh, come on. I'm gonna praise his name. You know that song? Oh, you ought to learn that song. Hallelujah. And I tell you, there is a song. God will give you a song of victory. And all you need to do is arise in God. All you need to do is be faithful in God. He wants to do something. 1 Chronicles 10:7, it says, when all the men of the city who were in the valley saw that they had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook their cities. They gave everything up. They ran the other way. And the Philistines got the chance to sing a song. The devil is having a good time. He's rejoicing because somebody is misrepresenting God. But I tell you, God wants to turn that around. And Moses, he learned that story. He learned that experience. He had that for himself. In fact, in Exodus 15:1-3, verse 3, it says, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Hallelujah. God will fight for you. God will enable you. God will raise up the standard against you. If you are working against God, you will be brought down. If you're working with God, if you're being launched by God like an arrow, oh, then God's word will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. God will hit his target. He will not miss. In fact, verse 10 of 64 in Psalms says, the righteous man will be glad in the Lord and will take refuge in him. And all the upright in heart will glory. Hallelujah. You see, saints of God, when you're walking with God, you're going to be a celebrating person. You can celebrate every day. Every day I'm glad.
Sometimes I'm just riding, and all of a sudden I just feel like, woo, thank you, Lord. I'm like, yes, yes, God. I don't even know why. I'm just like, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. People driving and looking at me, they're probably thinking I'm crazy. What is that guy doing? I'm like, hallelujah. Yes, God. I don't know why. Something just comes over you. You ever had that happen? All of a sudden, you just feel it. It's like, woo, what in? Hallelujah, Jesus. My God, thank you, Lord. Why? Because the righteous man will be glad. Hallelujah. When you're walking with God, you will be glad. You will be glad. You won't even know why you're glad. Hallelujah. And people won't like you for that. What you smiling at? Am I smiling? I wasn't smiling. I have people say that to me. Why are you so happy? Am I happy? Right? You know, why? Because people are miserable. Because they're working against God. When your life is going against God, you're going to be miserable. But when you turn things around and you're walking in the rightness of God, oh man, the upright, you're going to glory. You're going to glory. That's more than celebrating. That's your whole body is consumed with Allah. Yes. And it doesn't matter where you are. You say, well, you're a pastor. You got reason to go. Let me tell you something. I was working down in Manhattan. I was glorying in that place down there. Hallelujah. Shouting, praising God just like I am now. Hallelujah. People thought I was crazy, but I sure did it. Hallelujah. Made all my people pray, too, before we did stuff. And I tell you, God was with us. God was with us. Years later, I had people on my staff call me up, man, I wish you were still here. I'm like, yeah, it was great. But now it's a different time. And they were like, man, I've never worked with anybody like you. Man, I wish I would be able to work with you again. I said, you can. Come on up to the church. Hallelujah. Because people are miserable. And when you have the joy of the Lord, when your heart is glorying in God, everything you do is going to ooze the kingdom, the spirit of God, the anointing of God. That's why Satan wants to rob you of your joy. He's trying to rob you of the glory, of the crown of God, the anointing, the spirit of God. Say, God, fill me with your spirit and enable me. Hallelujah. I used to be depressed. I was down. I was feeling negative. They would say, what are you going to do in 5 years? I'm like, 5 years? I don't even know what I'm doing in the next 5 minutes. No purpose. I didn't know. I was lost. I was just in a plow. I felt down. I was comparing myself to other people. I'm looking at what's going on, and I'm saying, oh, this is hopeless. Oh, this is, I don't even know. I had nothing. But then one day, God said, I am your source of joy. Hallelujah. And I said, okay, I don't know what that means, but I'm just going to trust God. And I said, all right, God, give me some joy. Give me more joy. Give me your joy. And you know what God gave me? Holla! All of a sudden, I wasn't down anymore. I wasn't feeling bad anymore. I wasn't complaining. I wasn't, see, I know all this stuff because I did it. I was there. But God turns you around. Hallelujah. That is why the word of God says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Strength and praise are used interchangeably in the Old and New Testaments. So whenever you see the word strength in Scripture, you can substitute the word praise. Because when you have strength, it brings the glory of God. It will cause you to praise him. It will cause you to do that. And you'll see that is what Jesus said. He said, out of the mouths of suckling babes, God has ordained praise. Jesus said that, quoting from the Psalm. You see, God has ordained praise. You and I have been ordained of God to praise him. And so the righteous man will be glad. You need to be glad. Don't let Satan rob you of your joy. Whatever is going on, it may look like it's negative. It's not negative. God is doing something. You just don't see it. The negative part is just a distraction so that you miss and get caught up on the wrong thing. It's like those fences with the little green slats in between so you can't see in the fence.
You got to pull the plastic back. I don't think they like that, but you pull it back and you can peek in so you can see what's beyond the fence. You say, ah, that's a dirty old fence. Ah, what's wrong with that old filthy thing? No, it's what's behind the fence. Don't let the enemy distract you. Don't let him hinder you. You keep the glory of the Lord stirring in your life. If Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Hallelujah. Don't you love? What? God says, look, if you can't say what I'm doing, then just keep quiet and let me do my work. Hallelujah. If you can't see what God is doing, then just keep quiet. Don't start complaining. Don't talk about what anybody else is doing. Tell me what God is doing. If you can't tell me what God is doing, keep silent so God can keep working and let God work. The word of God says, a wise man even a fool appears to be wise if he keeps his mouth shut. Isn't that right? So it's better to keep your mouth shut and appear to be wise. Oh, excuse me. God will work. He will intervene. He will make things right. And finally, Psalm 64, 6 and 7, it says, did I go the right way? I think I passed that. Yes. So the mercy seat of God, hallelujah, is where the power of God lies. Jesus is our mercy seat. He is the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the power of God is. Once you come to Jesus, the mercy seat, God wants to instill his power in your life. And if you allow God to instill his power in your life, then you will be used of God and he will hit his target. God will always reach his target. He will not miss. And every arrow has his identifying mark on it. God knows those who are his. And so, saints of God, I pray that you are able to understand how faithful God is. He is the warrior. He is able to do abundantly more than you could ask or imagine. The arrows of the Lord are flying. There are plenty. They are being used. And that is you and I. We can be used of God. He can enable us and he can strengthen us. And I tell you, no weapon formed against us shall prosper because we are hidden in God. We are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. We are the ones who are under his covering. And so no matter what the enemy tries to do to hinder you or bring you down, you're able to see it. You're able to recognize him. And you're able to raise the shield of faith to bring down anything that is not of God. You're able to expose the devil and bring forth the light of truth and the ways of God, because God has his own arrows. He is the mighty warrior. I'm talking about the arrows of the Lord. Hallelujah. The arrows of God. Let him use you, saints of God. Polish your arrows and pick up your mantle and allow God to use you to prevail beyond these times. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Arrows in the quiver of God. God's arrows are perfectly made.
They are refined. They are well polished and sharpened. They are straight and they're able to fly long and great distances. We can accomplish things that we can't even believe we could do. Because when God is for you, who can be against you?
Hallelujah.
So you should never say what you cannot do. Because through you, you can do all things if Christ is in you.
Hallelujah.
You see?
Yes, Lord. Thank you, God.
Isn't that what Paul said? That you can do all things.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Through Christ, who is in you? Saints of God, never talk about what you can't do. You can do anything. You can do anything. The question is God calling you to do it? Is God launching you into that thing? And I assure you, if God is launching you into that, you will accomplish it. You will see it come to pass. It will happen. God will cause. Did you know God makes things happen? When the Israelites were standing on the shore of the Red Sea, it was impossible for them to escape the Egyptians. There was no way of escape. It was hopeless. There was only one thing they had going for them, and that is God was with them. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. God spoke, and everything came into being. And so when he said to Moses, go over the sea, Moses had to obey God. If Moses had to said, but the water's too deep, the water's too cold, I can't swim, and all the things he can't do, they would have never made it across. But once God demonstrated he was with them, Moses stepped down into the water. Once he stepped into the water began to move. Saints of God, I'm telling you, sometimes you got to step down in the water. Sometimes you got to step into the water so that you can see God do a work. So often we're so stuck on all these negative things, but we don't step into the water. You need to hear from God. You need to see what God is doing so that you can have enough faith and trust in God to step into the water. And that is a lesson Joshua, he also learned the same lesson when he crossed the Jordan into the promised land. God did a similar thing. When the priests went down with the ark, God parted the waters. Saints of God, God will part your waters. God will launch you into places you may not understand where you're going or what's happening. But when God launches you into that place, you will hit the target. And when you hit the target, God is going to go to work. Be faithful. Trust in God. Don't see things as being impossible or hopeless. You just need to hear from God and take his direction, and God will make a way for you. The battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. If you don't know what to say, or you can't say anything positive, or you can't say anything that's healthy or beneficial, don't say anything at all. Be quiet and let God work. Just say, God, help them. Sometimes all you can say, God, help them. Help them, Lord. And allow God to work. The last thing you want to do is say something negative or critical in order to bring things down. Look up. Look up and see the manifestations of God, and you will see the impossible happen in your life. Time is moving, but so is God. And it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. You're flying in the way of the Lord. And God is your source of life. He's your source of strength and health. He will enable you to accomplish all that he has intended for you to accomplish. Just submit yourself to God, and he will see you through. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would be manifested in our lives. Use us, oh God, as the arrows of the Lord, that we would speak your words and we would accomplish your purpose and your will, and that we would represent you in this world, in the places that we go, on our jobs, in our homes, in difficult and challenging situations. Speak to us, Lord, that we may hear and follow you. I thank you, oh God, for the opportunities that will come this week to represent the kingdom of God. Use us, Lord. Let us be your witnesses, that we will return a week from now with the testimony of the Lord, filled with the joy of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord is working in the midst of us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless you all. And thank you for coming to the Orange Cabin Gospel Fellowship. Oh, yeah. Come on.
You turn beauty from ashes. You turn shame and